taken a step off the recorder from yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, I forgot to take it out to you, I'm sorry.
Good afternoon. Today is not Friday, it is Tuesday, January 10th, 2017. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion, and it's 2:01. Of course, I said something, and now we don't have a quorum. They'll come back, I'm sure. I hope.
I did not read yesterday's. This is an inspirational
quote. Oh, that's okay. No, I didn't do it. I don't necessarily have an agenda that I can see for today, so I do understand there's something from the airport.
Yes.
Today.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Well, absolutely. I'm sorry, that's mine. I'm behind on my hydrator.
So this is related
to
the
board
action. I have one.
Underneath. During the last WBS of the previous board, and that was authorization for the airport department to purchase a new residence slash office building for the Illinois Valley Airport. We have had since 1958 a home on the airport property that was not maintained correctly. And when I inherited this 5 years ago, it was evident that there were some serious problems with the place. But we're continuing to use it, and it's to the point now where it's a potential liability for the county to have this really broken down. Every major subsystem in the home is shot. So since August or before, I've been making presentations and doing research to back up a decision to purchase a new manufactured home, which is the most efficient, cost-efficient, time-efficient way to deal with that. And so that decision was made, and what I'm asking for today is for the board to sign a document authorizing a single person to sign the purchase contract for this manufactured home, whether that be my liaison commissioner or myself. It doesn't really matter to me, but there just aren't enough the slots on this thing for everyone to sign.
The old home was in it. What is it? A stick built home?
It was.
It? Okay. So it's not a. It's not something you put the wheels back underneath and throw it off.
No, and unfortunately, I've had it professionally inspected, and I've inspected it, and several other people have gone through it, and it is probably going to cost far more to just rehabilitate the home and bring it up to code than it is to replace it.
Is there a cost to demolish it, or are you just going to leave it there?
That hasn't been decided yet. There's a lot of interested parties in that house. The smoke jumpers have an interest in the house. And that is going to be a political tightrope to walk with them. We need to come up with a good solution that satisfies them, satisfies the airports department. I haven't made a decision about how to do that, but that's one option. You know, two bulldozers in the chain, really.
I'm assuming that the present house is on a septic system as well.
Yes.
Are you going to hook the new home up to the same septic and well?
Yes.
Will it support that?
Yes. Yeah. We've had the site prep contractor has visited the site twice and has gone through the quotation process. We have a quote from them. It's for just under $25,000 for complete site prep, installation of the home, building the decks to bring the entry levels up to, you know, from grade level up to the home. It's not going to be very high, probably 2 feet maybe above the ground. They're going to build a foundation for this new home and connect up to the existing septic, water, and specific
house. That's in this price?
No, that is the price for the home,
okay.
And the $25,000 is a separate cost to the contractor who's going to do the site prep and installation. So the total amount of money that I had requested as a loan from the property reserve to be paid back by the Air Force Department over time was $155,000, and I wanted to cover the cost of the home, site prep, any contingencies. We need to repair the driveway that's up there, which is completely shot, and put in some landscaping and just, you know, ancillary things. And I'm also, anyway, so that decision was what was before the board in late December. Yeah. And so this decision is simply authorization to sign the contract. And my contract authority is up to, what, 10 or 20,000?
25.
And then my liaison can sign anything that's at or below 50,000.
Should be 25 and 50.
Yeah, 25, 50.
I know it's over everybody's 50. Yeah. The liaison, anything over that is full board. He doesn't have the signature lines. And some contracts don't, to accommodate for that. So the option for me would be the liaison commissioner, the chair. So over that 50,000 threshold comes to the board for a reason.
So we're not rehashing the merits of buying a house. We're just
Not really. I mean, that is, it could be on the table, but that's not what he's bringing for us today.
I realize you're probably concerned a little in that you don't know much about this, and we're asking you to sign the contract, but I've
so under the
presented a ton of information, which I'd be happy to brief you on.
I'm the most reluctant. I covet, and I'll use that word, the property reserve fund. This is not what it was established for. Airports doesn't pay into that. They have a 20-year repayment plan to accommodate this. I'm not worried about his ability to repay it because of the ability to find housing in the Illinois Valley. If for some reason this does no longer satisfies the need of the airport, it isn't part of it, or whatever, he's going to be able to rent it out for probably twice what he's asking for as a reason.
It'll be a positive cash flow.
I'm not worried about repaying it. And that was part of the reason. I also don't want, now the door sometimes, if you're smoking right there, it's a negative air pressure building. You know about that. The other one is that I don't want the next department that doesn't pay into this to come ask for $250,000. Where's the limit? The next one for me is the Fairgrounds Arena roof. That's $250,000. They didn't pay in for this stuff, but it needs to happen. This needs to happen also from a security standpoint. If it's not bolted down, if it's not welded down, in at the IV airport, it's gone. There are people stealing fuel. So this position both provides maintenance and it provides kind of a security element. Just
so this house will be occupied by the
24/7.
Somebody.
Airport caretaker or
something. As it has been, It has been all along. When I came on board 5 years ago, five and a half, I discovered that the airports department was making no payments at all into the property reserve fund. I started asking about that, and in my discussions with Ryan Johnson at the time, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I said, well, let's get us in, okay, and let's get us enrolled in this. And so about 4 years ago, we began paying into, and it was for the square footage out of the airport at Grants Pass.
It's a specific footprint.
Yes, exactly. So I've asked Ryan to work up, you know, I mean, this is a little off subject, but just so you know, I mean,
it's in the works.
We need to be in that, and I understand that, and I want to be.
Opposed to that philosophically. If they're their own program, they should set up their own fund, in my opinion. I've thought about this for 5 years, too. They need their reserve. They need something to capture the depreciation on their facilities the way we do, but I don't. There's an element of commingling those things that this airport's budget is a really... It's standalone more than a lot of other things, maybe more than anything I can think of. They're kind of their own deal, and I think that's a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing, and there's definitely a capacity to write this into the leases to capture that. We do 4 cents, I think, per square foot annually, even though we've deferred it the last year or two because the reserve is doing well, and that's how it's captured. And it's been built up since 2005, 2006 when it was established. So we don't have a Dimmitt Tower roof anymore of our assets not having the capacity to write a check for any kind of a repair. Right now, we have an understanding of our liability, and we can do that. We can fund stuff.
What's the length of term on your payback? 20 years, did you say?
Yeah, 20 years at 1%. paying a little bit of interest after the property reserve. And
could certainly pay off sooner if they need to.
That's what I was getting that question, but we don't have things go real well, you could pay that back, so the money's back in that fund. That's the only thing I concern. How fast is that money getting back in fund? Because other issues may want to come up.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
I think we're okay. It wasn't that big of a hit. It needs to happen. And really, the only other way to do it is to fund it out of a loan from the general fund. I don't really care. Honestly, it doesn't matter where it comes from.
Yeah.
Property reserve or general fund, it's still...
I'm just concerned about ability to repay, and it looks like that demonstrated that the ability to repay is there.
Mm. Yeah.
Kind of when I came up, I thought, when that question was answered in my mind during the discussions, like, how many more could we put out there?
Right.
Part of the housing problem on the airport for aviation related people who want to live there.
Yeah.
Let's put in three or four of these down.
It worked out well. It's positive cash flow.
Yeah.
And you're in business, you go, gee, if I can make, if I put a truck on it, it gives me $100,000 a year. Why don't I have 10 of them?
Right.
Exactly right. And in fact, I've been pursuing that policy when we've had the opportunity to purchase privately owned hangars. Large, you know, that have been built and owned as private property by individual pilots, and where I can demonstrate a positive cash flow based on a time payback, that makes all the sense in the world. And so I've been pursuing that as we go.
In my mind, in pursuing marketing of that airport as a facility, I think that's huge. If you could say, you know, you need a place out there or an office or whatever. We can accommodate that. Then you build a hangar or you do everything, and we'll provide your office space with it.
Yeah.
Business opportunities, I think that really helps out. So.
So I would endorse the idea that the liaison can sign this contract. It's going to go through or has gone through legal. You just need to kind of get it moving because the quality of the house is deteriorating, and you know there's an alternative that we've approved. Money's there. Let's just get it. There's a reason you're here.
All right.
Sure.
So while he couldn't make it, but I'm going to just wanted to read what he had to say about the arbitration clause in the contract because it's extremely long. It's like three pages.
Yeah,
just for the arbitration clause.
7, 8, 9, and 10 of the sales contract.
So he's saying that he thinks that clause is overly restrictive regarding our options in the event of a dispute. That given the value of the contract, he recommends avoiding an arbitration clause as part of this transaction. However, the other party is not willing to do that as far as
I've had two discussions with Palm Harbor Homes about that, and they're intractable. I mean, they've simply said, in the state of Oregon, this is our contract for all sales in this state, and we don't deviate from this contract.
I would imagine that's because of something that's happened in this state over and over and over again.
Yes.
That they're not about ready to get, you know, because they've been burned before, so they're not willing to go down that road.
Yeah, I mean, when I owned my own companies, I always had arbitration clauses built into our sales contracts with clients, and that worked well for us as a company. And I understand the reason why they want it. I wouldn't choose to do that myself, but it's something that I noticed right away. I wouldn't sign that. I sent it to our legal counsel for review, and they agreed that, yeah, this is really overly restrictive, and we would prefer that you not enter into a contract that restricts us this way. And I went back to them and back to their Texas headquarters through the sales rep here in Phoenix, Oregon, and they are not willing to budge on that issue. So we could choose to go with somebody else.
Well, the alternative to arbitration, in my mind, is straight to legal action. And so if we're trying to avoid, I wouldn't try to avoid legal action. I mean, this is what they do. They probably aren't going to want a black eye with the county, one of the counties that they do business with. That'd probably make the papers more than any other situation for a client that wasn't happy that went to court. Our stuff that goes to court makes the papers, so... do you have a recommendation, Better Business Bureau, kind of anything of assurance that this doesn't happen? on a regular basis. Yeah. They don't have a bad. They don't have a track record of going.
No,
to
no, and that's the other thing that I found in my research about this company and then several of the others.
If they're always in arbitration, I don't want to do this. But if they've right. never been, then
well,
it's just a technicality. It's yep. what they put in there.
I kind of ask blind questions of the people who would know, county inspectors. Planners, people who deal with Palm Harbor homes in particular and deal with issues surrounding these. And every person I talked to, who would you recommend for a manufactured home? And when I was exploring that as an option, this name came up every time. And they just said, deal with these guys. Everybody else is not. The quality of these homes is excellent. And they're efficient. They do what they say they're going to do. They're reliable. I never heard a bad word about them, so that made me feel pretty comfortable.
My experience with the mobile home industry, that's unheard of. I mean, because we put a lot of systems in.
Sure.
Being a brand new home, all's good until they hand you the keys, and then this doesn't work, and that doesn't work. And it's hard to get people back, so it's rare that you get a recommendation from customers to say, yeah, they did everything they said they were going to do.
Well, and the site prep contractor is local, and he handles a large majority of these home installations. When you're inside the home, you cannot tell it's not a stick-built home. There are 6-inch walls. It's, R42 insulation. They've got, I was very surprised. I mean, I've built homes myself, and I've bought a bunch of them, and I've done a lot of inspections, and I was pleasantly surprised at the quality of these homes here. And the models are at Exit 24 in Phoenix, so they're available to look at. But
and this is a double wide.
Yeah, it's a double wide, 1,500 square foot unit. It's 3 bedrooms, 2 bath. There's a copy of the floor plan.
Do we have to build a carport or?
No, we actually are going to plan on using the existing carport. We're going to place this home next to the existing one and kind of behind it. It won't be in plain sight until or unless we remove the existing home. And the smoke jumpers may decide to move that off site. They consider it part of their historic heritage.
Yeah.
However, it is not part of their formally recognized historic district, and so it's the oldest structure out, or the youngest structure out there, built in 1958. So anyway,
I'm on. That's not a record.
So do you guys have any objections?
I have a question about where's the county portion as far as airport office versus what's rented out to the caretaker.
Well, the current home, the entire home, is rented out to the caretaker. And he and his wife and 2 small children living in the home.
Oh, okay.
And so that is the fundamental purpose, is to replace that residential unit immediately. I mean, it's everything leaks. There's mold on the walls.
I was gonna say, there's health issues in there. Right?
There's asbestos in the attic. There's just all kinds of things that you don't want to go there, in terms of let's rehabilitate this while the family is still living here. Let's get the family out, put them somewhere else. Where are you going to put them? There's really not much out there to lease or rent. And it would be very disruptive. And in this way, the site prep will take place within about 30 to 45 days. The home will be built within 60 to 90 days after we sign the contract. And they'll be able to bring it out and install it. And they'll be able to move in by April. And in the meantime, they can live in the existing home, as they have been for the past 3.5 or 4 years, and not have a huge disruption of getting out, going somewhere else, then coming back in, 4 months from now.
Now, do they pay rent?
Yes.
And is their rent going to stay the same?
I haven't decided that yet. It's logical that they would pay more. It's a first-rate facility. However, you can also make the argument that they have put up with this house for 4 years, and we owe them something.
I would look at it as if they're good renters, And he's a good, he's an employee of the county?
He is, and yes. And then I do not want to lose him, and that's...
So it is or is not going to be used as offices?
Not currently while the family's living in it, but it could be converted to the airport office at any time in the future.
Got it.
Yeah. And it would be very functional with that, you know, with separate offices or a reception area, a mess, a kitchen, you know.
Does that include heating and air conditioning? Is it got a heat pump or something?
I'm adding a heat pump to it. That's not in this contract price, but I, in my loan request, I have money for that.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to put in a 2.5-ton unit. It gets above 100 out there, and it gets cold.
One of the things with manufactured homes, and people go, honest to goodness, in a lot of ways, they're better than a stick built because they don't know building that home that it's going to go 22 miles the other side of Adel, Oregon, out in the middle of the desert with 60-mile-an-hour winds at 12 below. Yeah. They have no clue where that's going to go. So they're kind of overbuilt in that respect.
It is, and we have an Energy Star package I've specified, which is an additional $1,700, and that upgrades the insulation and...
windows.
The home as is built to Oregon code for single family residences, but that's just an additional, you know, upgrade to the insulation, so, which I think is makes a lot of sense out there because of the temperature extremes.
So we need a motion to delegate Commissioner Morgan to sign on the board's behalf for this contract.
I make a motion that the liaison, Councilor Morgan, have the ability to sign on this contract.
Commissioner Morgan. You receptive to that?
Sure. Second.
Feel free to second.
I just didn't want to be self-serving by making the motion that I'm the recipient.
We're just trying to get the job done.
That's what I'm here for.
Exactly. You guys, any other discussion?
I think that they have the reputation of being a credible business otherwise. I mean, our legal is obligated to keep us out of risky situations, and arbitration is not a fun thing. It's expensive. It's pricey. It's one of those things that, coming from law enforcement, that's what we've been limited to in bargaining for years. So, I mean, it is what it is, and for the quality, sometimes we have to take on risk. So I think it's worth it in this case, though it's not fun to
contemplate the possibility here.
I have a question of legal. Did Mr. Hicks say this was a deal breaker if the arbitration couldn't be thrown out?
Well, personally, I wouldn't think he could make that decision.
He makes recommendations.
Yeah, it's your decision. He's just calling to, he's reviewed it, and that's...
Just bringing it to our attention that,
right.
that he's not entirely
he recommends that.
Sold on
not
that
ideal.
Part, that aspect
like
of it.
That arbitration.
But the decision then remains with the board. If we say, you know what, if arbitration has to stay, it has to stay, and go from there, that...
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. 99% of the time, legal makes recommendations. Although he is an elected official, the decision, I think 99% of the time, rests with the board. So, anything else?
Nope.
And there's no spot for him to sign. So. Got that.
Yeah.
If you default, am I liable since I signed?
No.
I'll be liable.
You're all agreeing, though.
Aye.
We're all in this.
Yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Okay, great. Sorry.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And I'm out for the next month. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, then we're not going anywhere until we...
Yeah.
And then we will be able to get the statement from Wally that says that Commissioner Lily Morgan is... the duly authorized person, and I so state or so certify or test or whatever.
Is that something
they
want?
Yes, it is. Because they're dealing with a public entity, and they don't know who.
Well, I can't serve.
I think the board, with all our signatures through what we just did, is.
Yeah. I would think so, too. So
we'll
present this to them and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, you could ask if they want a copy of the minutes, because that's where that motion would be.
Very good.
They won't get it immediately.
That's the binding element.
Yeah.
Great. Very good. That's okay. Good. Well, thank you for your time.
And there's only one original, so.
I was going to say, who's got the original?
But is it signed? Is there a place for them to sign it?
Yeah, they've already signed it. Yeah, they've signed it in about, I don't know, four or five different places on it already.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I told them that in our case, the board signs last. So you need to sign everything first. And so
normally we get two originals, but I wouldn't, if you haven't looked through it, I'd look through it thoroughly. Great.
So will we keep an original? We'll keep the original.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if we make a really clean scanned color version of this thing, and you can't do that.
Well, you can't try to.
And then she signs it, and her original wedding signature is on that.
You guys can figure this out.
No.
Okay.
I'm
all right.
Very confident.
We can get them a third copy if they want.
Okay. Yeah. Or I can just have her fill out another one of these.
That would be the.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
suggest you guys work that out
somewhere else.
Somewhere.
Got us. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll bring that in.
We have a couple other things that are on the docket, not necessarily the agenda. If the board will indulge us, do those, get them out of the way, and then anything you guys had. Okay. So, Jenny, do you have something?
I need the envelope this year.
That would be Commissioner Morgan. Now?
How long do you guys go?
Could be an hour. Great. We can go into recess for 10 minutes. Okay. We'll be back when you get here.
Okay.
10 minutes.
Can I get some water or coffee or anything?
So we're going to reconvene here. It is 2:39, and we're back in. I think we've got our esteemed finance director, Mr. O'Hare.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come in and present this. So back in December, I sent out a request for proposal regarding the public works review and assessment.
Do you mind if I start a little bit farther back?
You want to go farther? Okay.
Yeah. So right now we have a public works department that is experiencing reductions in its revenue and has over the last 4 years, 5 years, with the reductions of secure rural schools and the expiration of that. Their last payment came in last year right around $1 million, or at the beginning of this year was that $1 million that was pretty much the last payment they're going to get of that funding stream, potentially. So they're also only meeting one quarter of their maintenance schedule. So if they're supposed to be doing 50 miles of road every year, we're doing 25 miles of road every other year. So that's one quarter. We're trying to maintain a $1 billion asset. I just put out $1 billion because I don't really know what 580 miles of roads would cost to build today, but it's probably close to $1 billion. And so your generation built this, and we need to maintain it. My thought was is that I don't know how to structure public works from a standpoint to accommodate this reduction in revenue, live within their means, and try to accomplish all of that, just that maintenance element. I don't know what other kind of responsibilities we have, but there's tons of things out there. So we're doing an assessment of our most vulnerable infrastructure for seismic. We're evaluating, I think it's 20 bridges, maybe it's 12. There's two in there. We're paying for that so that when the state passes a transportation bill, we're like first in the queue to say, well, we've got 12 bridges that need attention, and we can accomplish it by doing these three things. We've already done the background work. We're shovel-ready project, ready to go. Part of this has to do with increasing the efficiency of our public works department. So rather than having myself as a previous liaison in that capacity, new liaison, or the public works director to come out, I was hoping to have a third party say, this is what I would suggest you do for your the structure of your public works department, and you could do these five things to reduce your cost, increase your efficiencies, and build you a structure that's going to last for the foreseeable future under your revenue streams. That's kind of why, and then Arthur was tasked with going out and finding Mr. Harris somebody to do this, and then I'll let him take it from there.
How many miles did you say?
We have about 580.
Okay.
I think the number that I see in the AOC book is 582. Rob often cites 560. It's kind of a moving target with...
Close enough.
It's right around.
Yeah. I've got some stats here. 170 bridges and structures, 13,000 road and driveway culverts, 19 gravel resource stockpiles, more than 8,600 sign installation, hundreds of miles right away in the fleet. So that's kind of the scope of what the Public Works has under their umbrella.
Have they ever had an outside audit? Have they ever had an outside look at their operation?
I don't believe so.
So basically, they're just running over there saying, yeah, we think this is best practices. We think this is what we should be doing with no...
Every 10 years, they have a system transportation plan from ODOT. So ODOT comes in and says...
That's real general, isn't it?
Well, it's really it's the work plan for the infrastructure. It's not telling you how to do it. It's
right.
telling you these are the roads that need resurfacing.
Yeah.
This
right.
is the bridge that you're going to have to replace in the next 10 years. It's that kind of stuff.
Like a prioritization.
It's infrastructure. Mm-hmm. It's not organization.
Oh, okay.
System transportation plan is what it's called. So we're doing one of those this year. So this works really well. I think you're going to have a transit plan. You're going to have a system transportation plan, and then you might have like an operational plan. Hopefully, you know, in time to structure the budget. This next year, and I think it could all line up really, really well.
One of the things we discussed as part of the act this morning was the seismic side of it, splitting seismic out, and what is our seismic, ODOT's got a seismic plan.
Mm-hmm.
There should be nothing wrong with us having the same thing for our bridges and stuff, and a prioritization, and, you know, which needs to be done now.
We're working on that right
now. And I think that would be fantastic, because if we could couple that with them.
Yep.
And you know they're at 35 million, but he's going to ask for 50.
Yeah, I talked to Art about that. He says there's a lot they can do to improve the existing infrastructure to make it seismic resilient, as opposed to spending hundreds of millions of dollars to fix a bridge that maybe just didn't need to fall down in the first place.
Now they rated their bridges also in three different categories: is can they be bypassed, or is there no way around them?
Hmm.
You know, and what's in
alternative
one, a two, or three, or four, whatever it is. And then that, you know, I think when you look at it from ODOT's plan, what their idea is to make sure you have everything that you're going to need in it, but have it in early. You know, have it already ready to go. You've already decided what your plan of attack is, and go from there.
We're spending some money this year.
We're low enough on the schedule to where, for instance, they get all done divvying money up, and there's $35 million left. They said, anybody got anything for $12 million? You're there.
Yep, totally.
So with that in mind, what I've given you here is the salient point is down at the bottom. Myself, J.D. Schofield, and Rob Brandis reviewed the four proposals that were submitted by four different agencies, four different consulting firms, and I gave you our cumulative scores there. And as you can see, all three of us felt that the management partners gave us the best presentation, the best options. As you can see under technical points, 60 max, and they had the highest. And pretty close, it was relatively close. Every one of us felt that they provided the best. And just for the sake of discussion here, I wanted to point out why we felt they were the best, and it's basically the team that they put together that is going to do the work. We've got Andrew, who was a Public Works director. We have Steve, who is assistant city manager, as well as doing work in wastewater planning. We have Kathy, who was a director of Public Works Mountain View and had responsibility for solid waste management, which our Public Works department also does. Solid waste for the Kirby Landfill and Marlson Lagoon. We have Gregory, who was fleet manager for many years, which again is our what we do in Public Works. So I think they put together an A team, an A level team. The other folks gave us good folks, but no one near the direct experience for public works, fleet management, and solid waste of these folks. And by coincidence, they happen to be about 700 less than what the next bidder was. So they were the low bidder. So that worked out great also. So what I'd like to do, as you can see, the bid itself is $48,700 per manager and partners. They're the third column folks. What I'd like to do is be able to begin the negotiation to have a contract, to put together a professional service contract to have them come in and start the work. And what I would need to do that is for the board to say, yes, this is acceptable and approved and move forward.
Can this be approved at the liaison level because it's under $50,000?
It can.
And it's budgeted, so that's yeah. The other thing. It has to be budgeted and under $50,000. This is a project we started about a year ago. And my my goal was really for this to be more around the $25,000, $30,000, not $50,000. So if maybe the liaison could take a look at the scope of work with Arthur and say, well, we're paying $8,000 for something that I don't know if you necessarily need. Or, nope, doggone it, every single one of these things is costing us. And I don't want a nickel and dime to save $8,000 on something that, like, you don't evaluate fleet. That's pretty important.
Fleet is one of the top priorities for me.
One of the things, in my experience, you have to be really careful because you have to, if you don't ask for it,
it won't.
From a consultant, they will not offer it outside the scope of work. So when you say, I don't think I need that, and then all of a sudden you find out, gosh, that was an element I really should have had in there.
Just a little bit extra, I could
have
added.
Yeah, a little bit extra, because these things all tie together at the end, and you want a good, nice bow at the end. Mm-hmm. So I think Lily and I both have run across that.
Yeah.
We got all done with an audit. We go, well, what about this? What about this? And you didn't ask for that. So I'd like to go over that with it. I think we go over it and put our heads together and say, okay, what all is this? Maybe something else we want to add?
That's exactly. I wouldn't mind if we as a board worked on this together,
sure.
Just because this has been a project of mine, and I think once we execute the contract, I'm happy to hand it off, but just to get it over the finish line.
In my mind, this thing is so close to the $50,000 limit, I would feel a lot more comfortable. I think the public would feel more comfortable with full board approval.
Okay.
Can we see all the proposals?
Oh, yes. I have them electronically, so I can put that together in a package and send it to each one of you.
Please, that would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what all in your estimation, what all fields of view did it cover?
I specifically.
And did you leave? Did you say, in order to save a little bit of money, I would like to know this, but I left it out. Let your mind wander a little bit.
Right. They did provide their scope of work. They did break it out into some of the different components that I included in there. So, I mean, it's possible if we wanted to, pull back or reshape it, and I put that flexibility in the RFP so we can work with them or negotiate with them.
I felt the RFP was pretty comprehensive.
It's
so
okay.
We did it together, and so if they met the RFP, we have everything that I could think of that I wanted done in there or could be addressed. So I thought
we'll
ask for everything. Huh?
Yeah.
I said, we'll look it over.
We'd like to see the RFP as well.
Right.
So we have to compare it.
There were some things, that after we got all done.
Well, I've never done one of these before. So
yeah.
Somebody else has got, a history on it. That's fantastic.
Well, one of the things that we found when the city evaluated fleet is they came in and said, oh, our computers didn't mesh with theirs. We couldn't evaluate it. Like, that's unacceptable.
Well, then you didn't do it.
Exactly. Right. But it's just one of those things that's like, you kind of get some experiences going through that you're like, what's the point of getting the recommendations if you don't do anything with them?
Yeah, right.
So we want to do the efficient stuff. But, yeah, if we can see the RFP and the proposal, then I would like to get this on. Is 2 weeks enough for us to look at, or do you need more time?
I don't.
You're caught up.
I'm ready to go.
I
I just, whatever time you guys need, I want you to be comfortable, but I also want this to be done as a product, ready to try to somewhat implement
incorporating into the budget.
Yeah. The next budget. So
I'd like to see it done sooner than later, like right now, so. I feel comfortable with the conversations I've had with Arthur about it previously. But I, what's as soon as we can get it on something that we can say move forward towards contract? Or can we say...
Well, I want enough time, and I don't think we can do it any sooner than next Wednesday. Not this Wednesday, but following Wednesday. So
let's just shoot for that.
Okay.
I think let's shoot for it. If we have any reservations next Wednesday, say, or Tuesday,
we can pull it. We can
say, I'm not there yet. But if say, yeah, I had time over the weekend and poured down rain, and I took care of it.
So we'll have an admin meeting on Thursday that we'll readdress this at. And that'll be the cue to get it on the next weekly business.
He's not here Thursday.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
So we'll go, you're going to discuss it this Thursday under other?
Yeah. That's fine.
So I will get the packet to the three of you and to Terry also.
Thank you.
When can we expect that?
Today.
Perfect.
Yeah. Lightning
fast.
Very good.
I haven't seen the proposals. My goal was to look at the proposals if there wasn't a definitive decision on who the contractor was going to be. The one that I've worked on the most was the selecting the contractor for the Demick campus. That was $1.5 million contract, and that was really important that we thoroughly evaluated. Went, I'd say, as flawlessly as possible, but I think your guys are right at taking the onus on the forefront to make sure that the scope of work is comprehensive and that we, you know, have multiple eyes. Mull Foster was a big help in making that happen, and Arthur and stuff. But certainly not my first rodeo with doing a contract and stuff. But I want to get out the product we want and not have, well, doggone it, we can't do anything with this.
I'm happy that they finished 10 above anybody else on the scoring system. Yeah. So that's 12%.
Yeah, and unanimous. We all felt that management partner, all three of us, we did it independently. We didn't confer with each other. We just, here's JJ, here, Rob, here, myself.
I think I'd have a question issue if the highest scoring one coincided with the highest priced one.
Right.
Then you would have to justify, you know, okay, I've got to look at the score. But this thing is a win-win.
It is on
both
sides.
Front.
And I think part of the reason is that management partners is very anxious to get more work in Oregon. They're very popular in California, and they've done work in all over the United States, but not much in Oregon. So this is an opportunity for them to get their foot in the door, I think. And that's why they gave us such a good deal.
So
sounds good.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Mr. Young, do you have anything?
No, I don't. Well, should I?
Yeah, Army Act would be good.
Do a little something on Army Act here. We went to Army Act meeting this morning, and there was quite a bit of information taken out. We looked at the Enhanced Preservation Bridge and Arts Project. They call it the Arts Project, but it's not Art.
Not Art.
Not Art Anderson. And took an Enhanced Bridge and Operation. And ARCH's Advanced Rural Transportation Systems. It went through all kinds of different things that were in question and rated them also on whether they go into Enhanced Preservation Bridge Operations or ARCH, and it's all up and down the I-5 corridor, just about on everything. It goes 199, 140, Highway 62. So there's, I'll have this available in my office if you want to take a look at it.
Can you give it to Terry to distribute to us?
Yeah. And then they have the 2018 through 2021 draft statewide transportation STIP program. And why are we here today? Provide a brief overview. And it went on cost versus benefits and what led to the changes and how they're going to do it. So on and so forth. And it goes on. It's really kind of comprehensive because it goes through and then basically describes what the fix-it programs are, the enhanced project, and non-fix-it funding, and so on and so forth. It went through the two projects that we have, Josephine County Transit. I don't believe I got it answered. The two projects that came through on this particular 2018-21 was the Birch Street to Coleman Creek project over in the Talon area. It was $7.6 million, and that, so that's a Jackson County deal. In my mind, I think John Biles, myself, there were quite a few of us on it, Region 3 that said we lobbied again that this is not a local project. This is an ODOT project, and why is it coming? Why are we using the SIP funds on an ODOT project? And it's $7.6 million. Well, it's because we could get the culvert done on another stream of money and so on and so forth. But the other one on there is Josephine County Transit Phase 1, which is $589, and that's just the parking lots over here for the transit.
Uh-huh.
So I said, what happened to the $300,000 that we gave to CHETCO? It's supposed to come back if we need it. And Rob seemed to think that we've got the other half of this phase two covered, because the original project was $1.2 million.
Yeah.
And I think he thought that within this project, was it scheduled to go till 18 anyway. So he figured by then we would have the second part of that covered, which allowed CHETCO to have one of their projects. It was kind of a good faith deal. We'll get it back probably on the next go around when we need their vote, I guess would be a way to put it. They went
that
through
was the Super Act.
Big pardon?
Appropriating money.
Big pardon?
So it was a Super Act. It wasn't just.
Yes, it was a Super Act.
That's right. That's
Region
why
3.
Got,
yeah, we,
right.
We went to Roseburg.
Yes.
To lobby for these.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I got involved in that, so we're in pretty good shape there. Had other projects in here, the preservation program, project for Applegate River Bridge, and that is an ODOT project, and it's $7.63 million, which is re-grinding and asphalt on Redwood Highway. There's another one at $4.2 million, Bear Creek to Agate Road. I think probably this would probably be another good one to have copied and sent off. They had the, what do you call it, COAR?
That's Connect Oregon.
That's what it's called?
Connect Oregon.
Connect Oregon, yeah. And there was
application.
Seven projects on that. Five of them came through for Grass Pass and Airport and Illinois Valley Airport. The only one that beat us out was Ashland, and it was fairly small. It rated highest. They rated these down here. I was really happy to see that Byrne, he's the liaison to RVAC from the airport side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he rated all of these pretty well. So I think we're in pretty good shape on that. I think, you know, when this thing comes to pass, that we'll be in the hunt. We're one of the few places, Josephine County is one of the few places that has two airports within its jurisdiction. I think the only one that has multiple airports other than Josephine County is up in the north, the metropolitan area. And then we're the only two airports. And both of them are substantial airports in the scheme of things.
Yeah, Larry's really figured out the grant stuff, which is good.
Yeah, yeah.
His challenge is finding, even if it's 10% match, if you have five grants that are $150,000 and you go 10% on each one of those, it adds up.
Yes.
You know, 5 times 15, that's 60 grand, and from a turnip, where are you getting? And those are the small ones. You know, he's doing a taxiway extension or an east side runway,
right,
and they're, you know, a couple $1 million, and you're still out looking for 10%. 700 grand is not easy to come up with.
Yep.
So it's like his issue is match money.
And the main thing, I think the to the head of the class goes is that we're going to list these projects. Then when it comes down to you, do you have the match? And we don't have the match, then that may go away. But we can say, out of those six projects that we have the match for two of those. Let's get those, cross those off the list, and we'll be in line for funding.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have to be on that list first, and you know, or we're not even in the door. We can't come in after the money comes in and say, boy, we got something. It better be on the shelf ahead of time. Talking about the investment strategy background, and gosh, for Friday, it's, their investment strategy, and they think that this year the legislature is probably going to have a bigger ear towards transportation than it ever has before. It fell short a couple of times last year.
That's what they did with their state visionary vision meetings. Were you at any of those state vision meetings? You were. You were at the one over in Medford.
In Medford, right. We were at the OTC.
Yeah. I think that's going to be paramount. The governor is really focused on that at the state leadership meeting.
Dave Ullman said they took back from Southern Oregon, they took back to the governor. We made a pretty strong impression on them, I think, when they were down here.
Yeah. So, Carmen Ford used to be the liaison for transportation, but she's like the legislative liaison now. It's broader than just
her. Who's that?
Carmen Ford. She used to work in Peter DeFazio's office. We were friends in D.C. when she moved out here, and stuff. Well, when I moved out here, then she moved. So I think we need to follow the transportation element. Rob's pretty good on that. They changed the formula for distribution of gas tax revenues for small counties. We are right in the middle when you stack it up as far as revenue distribution. And so we were positively influenced, even though we weren't really one of the drivers of it. So he's going to be one you're going to want. That's going to be one we're going to want to follow.
Yep. But I thought it was a real good meeting.
Great.
They were kind of sketchy on their presenters because some of them couldn't make it.
And yeah, I don't imagine.
I was surprised they even had the meeting. I was looking for Pat Foley to
call it,
but she didn't. And so, and by the way, she wasn't there. She fell and broke her hip.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
no way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful. So, she's so sweet.
Yeah, she does a lot for the act.
We should send her a note.
Yeah, I think that would be very appropriate.
If you ever think of things like that, people we should thank, congratulate, get well, feel free. Well, the ladies will just put a card together and we all sign it. I think it goes a long way.
I do too.
We need
perception.
We need to do more of that. I was really gung-ho when I first got elected. I was doing thank you notes every week. I haven't done a few in a while. So. Anything else?
Nope, I think that was good. It was a good session today. I was happy with it.
Great.
They did a lot on seismic. You know, what the seismic ramifications were. And I think Rob's on board with that. I think Rob's pretty well up to that.
We're ahead of the curve.
We'll find an opportunity, if we get an opportunity to put our stuff in there with theirs, I think we'd be miles ahead.
Do you have any kind of a report on the weather? Lily may have that from a flooding commissioner on call. But that'll be something we're going to be needing to watch pretty closely in the next.
Yes. The Rogue River went up quite a bit between when I went over this morning and came back at lunch.
Yeah, yesterday it went up 3 feet in just a few hours.
Yes. Gilbert Creek is higher than I've ever seen.
North Applegate lost part of the road yesterday. Galeast has a landslide. City just put out a landslide announcement through Dell Drive at Poplar. House was damaged, power lines down, hillside stability unknown, public safety and public works are on scene.
Is that where they had the last one there, Canyon Drive? Just past Canyon Drive?
I knew they had one on Fruitdale last time. I couldn't. And I didn't know if this is exactly
the same general area.
Canyon
towards
Drive.
That end of
the crazy Fruitdale. Thing is that, I mean, you're never going to stop removing. That slide was just going to keep going. It's never going to get more stable than it was with all those trees. And then when the bank just gets exposed and the mountain's full of water, it's just
reaches a point.
It's just going to keep going.
Without doing some mediation, it's going to. So the areas that were brought up today, Lower River Road is always a bad one. Over,
yeah.
But Redwood Avenue down by Hubbard is having issues.
Where is it really?
Red Cross is getting ready to set up a shelter at RCC if need be. And the concerns that were brought up earlier were related to snow collection on rooftops.
Mm-hmm.
And both Director Brandis and Hall, is it Zilphy or Hall right now?
Hall.
Thank you. We're concerned about that, and that's what the potential PSA is going to be about, is trying to get the weight off. Lots of stories of cracks and structures collapsing, outbuildings from the weight of the snow coupled with the rain added to it.
I saw there's something on, I think it was Facebook or Netflix, about, you know, when your door doesn't line up the way it used to and stuff like that. There's indicators, structural indicators, mm-hmm. that I think that was after an earthquake that, you know, your house needs to have an evaluation.
I'm right in the middle of that with my home. I'm getting ready to call, what's it called, Terra Firma?
Yeah.
I've got doors that don't fit anymore.
Yeah.
I had one that wouldn't open, and now it does open, which makes me even more suspect.
So one of the things they're doing in, with lower issue assistance, they've Jenny's coupled with Liberty Watch, which is formerly Oath Keepers, to try to offer some assistance so that search and rescue and emergency services can deal with the bigger, more urgent ones. Those were the main concerns that were expressed regarding flooding.
We had a complaint from a lady out in the Cape Junction area in the Kenrose, is that the name of that?
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to her yesterday morning, and she explained to me that when the plows went by, she had 2 feet of snow, and then she had 4.5 feet of snow, and then it froze, and so on and so forth. I talked to Rob, and he said, yeah, I don't have an articulated blade in that area. I just use a snow plow. And he and I discussed the possibility of maybe when we get done with this thing, taking Kenrose, which has like 100 residences on it, because it's a little more... A few more houses out there and a little more density, that dispatch a road grade to that area so you have an articulated blade when you get to the driveway, you can push it out and then push it into the bar ditch after the driveway, just in those residential areas. And he said, yeah, we sit down and possibly he could make up. So when they call for services, they say, then we're going to send trucks out for Skelter, just kind of being able to assign a piece of equipment for those driveway areas, because she said she had like 4.5 feet of snow out there. And of course, you know, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
Other than take a loader out there and undo it.
I heard that training might be an issue as far as operators. There's been people who are listening to the dispatch, and the dispatch I hear is really solid. It's the application by the guy on the ground that... could use some improvement. You may relay that to Rob. It's an after action. Friday, I have a comprehensive after action. I don't think we're going to touch base about stuff like that, E&A. But I want to come out of this, you know, we're not out of it yet, but with tangible things that, what do we learn from this? What do we need to do better? The on-call element, what does that job description mean? And what are the criteria for doing a full-on closure, a delay, or leaving it, you know, at the department manager's discretion up to whether or not that office is open, outlining what essential services really need to happen. You know, you can go 48 hours, but you can't go more than that until they have to process people and stuff like that. It should all be outlined, and I don't think that we really have done that. It's all just kind of always worked.
Well, until you get this.
Except Illinois Valley is still in disaster out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're not out of it.
Training one disaster.
It's going to be our 50-year storm event right today.
I would like to say that maybe we should send out a, if the board agrees that PSAs or PRs should be run through the liaison at the least, is that something we definitely agree on, and I could do that this afternoon in an email as a policy?
Yeah, I think they should, but I think we also, it wouldn't hurt us to, if there's a public information officer training or a standard of things that we need to be looking at. I want to make sure that we're as equipped as possible to be doing the right information releases.
And people have different levels of training when it comes to that. I've just evaluated a PR press release last week by somebody who is a journalist-ish, has journalism background. It's different than my background as far as being a business writer. I'm short, concise, to the point, everything under one page. You know, and there's just different styles. I think we should have kind of like adopt a one-pager as a max on a press release. Stuff like that. Simple things. Bullets, quotes.
You have to inform but not panic.
Yeah.
And a lot of times more information, you're dwelling on a ponder.
Yeah. So training would be good. I think that's a great idea. I'll send something that, referencing that out today. Was there anything?
I have a list of things I want to run by.
What is that?
I met with Judge Baker yesterday regarding permission to carry fire. I don't necessarily think there's no interpretation of Justin County is zero tolerance, and it won't change.
That's set by Judge Baker, not the county.
Correct. I just meant policy by her in Josephine County. I think it's worth exploring. I mean, even legislatively saying, okay, why in these circumstances or this and that, but even under, even if state law allows, because of law enforcement background and good standing and taking certifications, well, you're not in that job at this time, so it's not authorized. And so it's kind of a very specific and, you know, so we were talking about things that I would like to bring back, probably executive session, related to Nextdoor and some upgrade potentials as far as putting in a strategic plan for over there. So I don't know when that would be possible, but it needs to start as a plan and a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of going from there, she had some concerns as well. So
I think that's a great thing for executive session, and it would probably qualify under a memo from legal counsel.
Okay.
As a facilities element, I can ask Wally to talk about what are the parameters of what we have the discretion and where does the court's authority, as Judge Baker is the senior elected in this building, where her jurisdiction ends and where ours picks up, if it does, over Neon Basker, if there are different rules for that.
She thought there were.
It's
but
possible.
We need to have
it's always looked at as an extension of the courthouse.
She said that our office specifically had asked that it be extended to, and it was denied. And
I think that was just done last year, and it
okay.
was from the election standpoint that that is not an annex. That doesn't fall under the same campaigning restriction that the courthouse has.
Okay, so it'd be worth further conversation.
Yeah, totally.
On-call schedule change. So a couple questions have come up this week, and one that I know is that Commissioner DeYoung is going to be out of town the week of February. He's on call. So I was going to make the recommendation, if you're up for it, that we switch, that you take January 30th through February 3rd.
Okay.
And then I will take the following week that
okay.
is your conflict, just to make sure that we are covered for that case. I mean, if that would work.
I think it will. I may have a California thing the end of this month, but I think I'll be back on Sunday because the 30th is a Monday, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I should be back.
30th is a Monday. Okay.
So that now I should be able to take the 30th on.
Then I don't know if when those can be entered, if it's possible to not have notifications.
That I'd have to look at your calendar.
Oh, okay.
Call schedules, if you guys work it out, you can just come up and tell us.
Okay.
And we'll make it.
But we're not allowed to work it out.
You can tell her that you have a conflict. You're going to be out of town or whatever.
Okay, so that's how we work it out. Okay. Justice Reinvestment Summit is going to be February 16th and 17th in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
That is the same weekend as County College, which happens to be in Salem, but I still can't be in two places at once.
Here.
I know. I try.
Work it out. So
I am hoping one of you could attend the Justice Reinvestment Summit. I thought that Commissioner DeYoung might be a good fit for that because being liaison to Community Corrections and Sheriff's Office, they're both recipients of Justice Reinvestment dollars, and it might be a good eye-opening education of what's going on up there. But since I cannot attend as the lipstick liaison, I thought I would ask somebody to cover that.
I found that the first part of County College was probably the most valuable because they go over the stuff you really need to know now, and then you talk about the things that are nice to know as the year goes on. That's just my perspective. So I would say for me, it could be that the priority could be County College. Now I sure hope you'll learn something in those things. If you sit around all day and you're bored, well, then you should have been at the
My problem is that because it is an actual college course, I'm not a student.
No, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. Because John Rasher, nothing against John Rasher or Don Skinner, those people, they do just fine. Seth Crawford.
I mean, everybody breaks out their computers and their laptops and those things, and
It's presentations. You'll get it. You'll track really well.
Not a lot of homework?
No.
Okay.
No. It's just stuff you need to know, and they'll tell you, and they'll run through, you know, scenarios and say, well, this is what we suggest you do, this is what we suggest you don't. And, little things like telling you that legal counsel provides you information. You are the CEO. You make the decision. They never get a chance to really make a decision. In fact, if they ever do, Wally told me that he provided a testimony, something to the BLM on the proposed mineral withdrawal, just as a statement from him, actually. He can't say a statement from the county unless we authorize him to do it. But it was everything reinforcing the consistent policy of the county, saying that based on our coordination policy, we don't like to see a management change happen within our jurisdiction, any monument or anything, without the coordination being happening with the board. And so from that standpoint, we are, Josephine County has a policy of being opposed to this proposal. The board never actually made a formal designation on that. He was totally within his right to do that, to reinforce an existing policy, which I don't have a problem with. That was, didn't say anything that we haven't already said. But he can't say anything new that we haven't said. So just as much, they're going to go over stuff like that. I tracked the Justice Fee investment, and I'm not advocating that I want to go. Coming back from Salem in the last meeting, and I don't know that the weather's going to get all that much better. Since the beginning, since its inception and advocacy that the $52.4 million or whatever they advocated for originally be appropriated to this, I tracked it pretty well. I'm happy to do it, but I also don't, you know, if you're interested in doing that and would prefer to go to the Justice Fee investment, and I don't have to go to Salem, that's fantastic, because I'm going to D.C. on the 24th.
I want to make sure I'm hearing you right, that you should not fear County College.
Absolutely not. It is there for you. You show up to the what you want to and don't what you don't. It's not a required course. It's all for your benefit. It's, well, so is college. But you're the employer, so are you with college? If you say a subject that you want to hear about, they'll figure out a way to get that on the schedule. So it's all for you. Don't look at it like a college course you're going to fail.
This is where I'm not. How do I say this? I'm at the tail end of my career.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are not.
The majority of the commissioners are in your situation, not us.
Okay. But that's
you're going to fit in probably more than I understand.
I'm trying to convince myself that there's a value that I'm going to need to do my job here at this office, not necessarily to say, hey, look at this on my
wall.
Not at all. I don't, you know.
It's not good recognition. I see it as putting tools in our tool belt that we can use to do our job better.
Go to one or two and say, I'm getting something out of this or I'm not. You know, you are not obligated to take it.
The question I had about it, is it $700 a person?
Is it?
Yeah.
See, that's another thing. Is by the time that you take
travel and
the travel, hotels, and the course itself, we're over $10,000 per person. Easy.
Like
10 of them, and you're three nights at a.
Should be just two.
Wednesday night, it should be there 7 in the morning.
Some of them. But
you're
right.
Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night.
No, because you go up Thursday morning, class starts at 1, and then class is done Saturday at noon, so you would spend the night Thursday night, Friday night, and come back Saturday.
I remember it being just 2. And if you feel like the agenda for Saturday isn't worth it, you can come back on Friday. It's all up to you.
Yet if you get credit, you have to attend so many. But if you don't care about the certificate, then you maybe wouldn't have to. But
it's changed a lot in 6 years since when I started, so don't take me for gospel about what the program is. But I found it really, really valuable. There's both the curriculum, which, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you guys are going to know. There's stuff you're not going to know that's pretty valuable that would help me, not, you know, you guys would be up to speed on stuff. The other thing is the connections that you're going to find with these new commissioners. Best practices exchange, they're invaluable. Taking the idea of, like, community development director and putting that, implementing it here, there's 100 different things that I didn't have to come up with as a great idea that we've implemented over time. So, and stuff you're going to share with them. You know, there's a lot of counties that don't understand that you can take foreclosed properties, sell them, designate the property to be a benefit to our forestry. Most counties don't have forestry, or your parks department. we've got $350,000 sitting in that, and I didn't learn that here. Maybe I did. I don't know. There are counties that have learned that from me. So it works both ways.
So the question of paying for it, is that something that...
It's in our budget to pay for it.
Okay, sure. So I don't have to get permission to do that.
No.
Okay. So then my last thing on my list was, I do need a report that I did receive an email from AOC on the courthouse replacement.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know if you saw that we came up sixth on the list in prioritization, or kind of fairly low.
They were picking five.
Yeah, so we're not.
We're not in the queue. We need a plan.
We do.
And we haven't invested in that at all.
Seismic study, all that other kind of stuff that goes into being very specific about a 100-year-old building. But because the others are all organized, I think that probably was presented in a different way that got them higher ratings. So I just wanted to put it on our... That
it hasn't been a priority for me.
Okay.
Because from my perspective, we're fine. It's a courts issue.
Except we're required to provide the facilities.
Yeah.
But you're right.
We're providing them.
We'll provide some modules if we have to.
It's costing us $246,000 a year to provide for courts. That's the bomb avoided revenues. So if we had a department in there, they would be paying $246,000. So I feel like we're contributing a fair amount already.
Mm.
But, you know.
So the last thing that came up, just kind of to give you a heads up of where this came through with the blinds, furniture, all that kind of stuff. I had concerns about the furniture in here. Wasn't really okay with the setup. The desk had some wood splintering on the front of it that I just didn't want to deal with, snagging clothes,
snagging arms.
Well,
all furniture in this office is pretty fully depreciated, minus maybe these chairs.
Well, and so where it started was I was under the impression we had to provide our own furniture. And so I did buy a couch on Craigslist. I mentioned that I was invited to visit Rotary. I'm not a Rotary member. Somebody sat next to me that I mentioned, okay, I'm looking for furniture. And they said, oh, well, All Care just moved in their new building and got all new furniture. They're looking to get rid of all their old furniture.
Yeah.
So Doug Flo, CEO of All Care, called me December 22nd and said, you know what, we're going to be getting rid of all of it. You're welcome to come down and look. So on December 28th, I went down, and essentially that's where all this furniture came from.
Mm-hmm.
I personally felt like I shouldn't personally gain from that, and was going to see if we can, as a county, send a letter saying thank you for the donation to the county. I intended to just leave it when I left.
Yeah.
Mostly just trying to not get personal gain from, you know.
Well,
but
save some money for the county, investing in a new desk and stuff.
Correct. But I also wanted to make sure that I did things right as far as whatever notifications are processed. I can't send a letter on behalf of the board or the county, I didn't feel, without, you know, the proper channels. So last week I had left a message for Wally just to check on legalities or whatever. Yesterday is the first time I had a chance to touch base with him. He came in and he also said this is an ethics concern because of potential pending contract with All Care regarding. And I said, well, this was donated December 28th. I wasn't in office yet. I hadn't taken an oath. I wasn't aware of this contract or anything else. So it has no bearing on me making a decision.
He uses a tangible example. You don't have to have a tangible example. It doesn't matter. We're the public health authority for the county. They're operating a public health element in our county. You don't have to have a tangible thing where we're leasing, they're leasing.
So he contacted the State Oregon Ethics Commission, who suggested we return the furniture. There was a question of whether or not they are going to have a... They're intending to donate to nonprofits for free.
Yeah.
They're intending to sell to employees. If any employees want some of the furniture, they're intention to get rid of it. So I contacted them yesterday saying, I'm sorry, I have to give it back. And they said, if we have a third party give an assessed value, can you buy it at that rate if it's the same as what is offered to others and not, you know, because essentially we don't want it back. We're trying to get rid of it. But I don't know ethically what required. So I sent an email back to Mr. Hicks, haven't heard back. You know, I know my intent was not spending money for the county. I wasn't, and theirs was, we need to get rid of it if you need it. commissioners should have furniture in their office kind of thing. There was no strings attached except for they asked if we ever got rid of it, we donated it to charity. But I want to make sure you guys are aware, because the other option is, I mean, OCE is the Oregon Enterprise, or OEC, you know, the prison makes furniture and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but looking at cost of furniture, it's costly.
That's really, office furniture is like scheduling a wedding.
So, yeah.
Oh, you want to be here for a wedding? Well, then that's double.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know, just a desk is $400.
I think what you were asking is, could you have a third party assess it and say, that's worth $50?
And pay that.
And you pay the $50, and it's your furniture.
Well, and then AllCare's response is, we'll even take that money and donate it to charity. None of us are looking for gain.
We don't care what we...
And I said that, too. I don't care what
you
need it, but...
You know, so if you want the intent that it stays there, then the county purchases it.
Okay. I just do not believe that I can make that decision without bringing you two into the discussion.
Well, I think it's a great discussion.
I think that you need to have somebody else place a value on it. Money has to change hands so that it's not a gift.
Correct.
I think that's
why. I don't understand why it can't be a personal, or a campaign contribution to you. There's in-kind contributions to happen to us, and we just file it with our campaign and say, there is a third-party assessment. This contribution is worth $1,500, and you put it on your Oregon Ethics thing, and it's yours. And then when you leave office, you donate it to the county or whatever.
Okay.
That there's a way to thread this needle to where everybody is aware, it's filed, it's public.
I have no intention of being secret. The idea was not costing the county money is what it's going for.
Yeah. That's the way I would do it, is I would take it as an in-kind contribution to my campaign, where you can use campaign funds to pay for it. You can do whatever you want, and you just have to have a trail of it.
Check with Carol on that, but I'll bet you can.
Wally said no yesterday. I asked.
You can use campaign funds to buy groceries, to pay for gas.
I didn't do any of that, but that was me. But I
didn't either.
Yeah.
I know people who have got, you know, war chests of campaign funds, and they'll donate it to somebody else's candidacy, or they'll start spending it, you know, for part of their job. You know?
I sent out some Sherry's berries.
Mm-hmm.
At Christmas, and I called Carol. I says, "Can I do that?" She goes, "Well, absolutely."
Right.
I says, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I think it's $400 worth." She goes, "No problem. Send it to me. It's already been filed and approved by the state and everything."
So I had asked yesterday. I said, "Well, can it be campaign contributions?" Because I was not in office when it was donated.
Right.
And it hasn't been the 30 days in filing, so I'm still within my time frames of legality. But I want to be above board.
That's the most transparent, in my opinion, is running it through your campaign.
Okay.
And then when you get done with your term in office, you just donate it.
You might just give Carol a call and tell her exactly what you just told us. If she says yay or nay, she's a logic here. She knows what flags are going to run up the pole, and,
right.
and she won't let you.
So, question with them already saying at the ethics board that I, because of this contract,
it was the way it was presented. I'm sure.
Okay.
So I
just want to be above board, and
yeah.
I'm not interested in hiding anything, or I don't want to gain from anything, but I can borrow that table and sit at it. I'm okay with that until we figure something out, but I can't physically lift this on my own.
Yeah, I have every confidence you'll be able to figure out a way.
Okay.
Well, so I paid for my furniture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mine too.
Yeah, well, I did buy the couch.
I bought the, huh?
I bought the couch.
Yeah, I bought the couch.
On Craigslist.
Two chairs and stuff from Carol. So.
I put a tag on all of my stuff. The only thing the county provided in there was my desk. Everything else is mine. It's got a little property assignment here.
Probably 10, 15 minutes will be done. So the last piece of it, the blinds. The blinds were removed when they painted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm freezing in there. I brought a couple blankets in. They took them away. I don't know where they took them, but
I'm not so sure that you're going to find much benefit in blinds, because those are pretty high R-rated thermal paints. They've got argon in them. They're low E. I mean, I know all the specs. So the argon
sitting in front of the window,
you can feel it.
I'm freezing.
Well, that could be a That could be a fact that your office needs to be adjusted thermostat-wise.
Well, and I think they might do things. No, I don't dare call him about things like that.
No, that, go ahead.
But I have been told that the ones
Wally's
that I...
Wally's freezes. Yours, or is hot, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know I literally brought three blankets in just to be available. I was freezing, and every day I've been cold.
So the heat does turn off at like 5 o'clock.
Okay, they could so be that at night. Thermostat.
If you were here at night... Yeah, it's going to be cold.
It was only 11 at night.
Yeah. It's
so that could be part of it, and on holidays or weekends. But one of the things that was said about these other ones, if we look at replacing potentially blinds, they say metal blinds such as these radiate heat and cold, and they're dust collectors for allergens and stuff like that. So be aware of that. The type of the honeycomb of sorts that we put in the Community Corrections reflect the heat. And they don't collect the dust or low maintenance. But
I just want to go. I don't like buying things for the facility that are this there and then something else there. These are all matched. They did at one point.
Yeah.
And they're fully depreciated, like you said, put in the 60s, I think.
Yep. That's what Bob said.
It's about time, you know.
I just thought I'd kind of put it on the radar, mainly because.
I'll look into it.
Well, and this morning it was still dark when I got here. I was here before 8. And so when I turn my light on, everybody can see me. And
you really can't see much outside.
Only when it's dark and the lights are on.
Oh, okay.
Once it's light outside, lines. Then...
We'll figure out how to do that.
Okay. So I just wanted to follow up. Even if I,
Yeah.
So wanted to bring that back up. So I apologize.
Not at all. We'll figure
kind
it
of
out.
Cheryl put the kind in that go from here up so you still have the light.
Mm-hmm.
They go from the bottom up.
Yeah.
They're bottom up, top down ones. I have those at home. We put them in at Community Corrections.
She bought that and she didn't ask or coordinate or anything. So.
I want to put because I've got my corner office has got two walls to the outside, and I'm looking at an electric fireplace to put where my bookshelf is.
Okay.
A little bitty guy, and I talked to the electrician that came through one morning. I stopped him, and he goes, yeah, there's a plug on the other side. I'll just poke it through, and you plug it in right there. So, but it's UL approved, so it won't be fire danger, and it's remote control. It's got a little...
So you're cold as well.
Obvious. I'm not cold. I'm in the heating business, so none of this bothers me. I am not a temperature person, but I live with a very temperature-sensitive person. But it doesn't bother me at all.
So that you're aware, we do have a general policy in the courthouse that space heaters are not allowed from an energy consumption standpoint.
Well, this one here, according to him, there's a thermostat on my wall that connects to a duct heater that's up above.
Mm-hmm.
And this, so if we, he says, I don't know if that worked or not anymore. And I said, well, I don't want to use that because that's going to be probably 2.5 kW. This is 1,000 watts, 750 to 1,000. So that's way less than what if
sure.
I use the wall heater.
Okay.
So from an energy standpoint.
Well, we can work on that. I mean, we're not exactly subject to, we should be subject to the rules we institute, but.
Well, I look at it more from the fire danger side than I do from a facility standpoint.
Mine is keeping costs low as an energy consumption element, but when you've addressed the issue. So first off, if it's during the work hours and you're cold, we need to talk to Ryan about that.
Yeah.
I'm
going to use it for the flame.
But for after hours, I don't want the whole office to be 72 degrees when you're in yours. And then for that, if I have any authority as a facility liaison, I totally endorse the space heaters for that. And I've thought about that for my office because, my first term I was in here every night.
I'm somebody who will be distracted at home, so if I need to read something for work or do something, I will. It does, and I tend to like the quiet of the evening.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm not a morning.
Dwight
really
came
nice.
In at 5. He did that a lot, and it would leave, early afternoon or whatever. So you just pick your time.
I'm more likely to come in at 11 and stay till. No, I'm just kidding.
Stay till 11.
Yeah.
Do your 12 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Great.
No, I just appreciate the fact that I have an office rather than the back seat of my pickup. But I'm, like I said, on the little fireplace thing, I'm looking at the see what they were.
Yeah, that's great.
And they're, and like, I'm doing it more for ambiance because I like to have something to look at to it than flames make me think.
Totally.
If I wanted to put a whiteboard on my wall, is that something I could order?
Yeah.
Or do I need to buy that out of my personal? Okay.
And ask Bob to install it?
Okay.
Yeah, because you've got two concrete walls.
I see around here, I see cork boards with county maps on them. Is that something we could do?
Absolutely.
Because I want to put stick pins in as to where to go and who to see and so on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, basically within reason, without changing structures or buying something that's going to stay, potentially past your term, you can do anything you want with your office. You can paint it pink.
It was painted pink. They had to unpaint it pink.
I saw that. Yeah, you can see it.
It wasn't pink when Keith was in there that you thought. It was this creamish yellow. But when they painted... The pink that was in the vent that was here during Ann Basker came out. And they had to repaint the vent to try to get that pink out.
Wow.
So.
Anything else?
I'm sorry, that was my list. We're good.
Great. I have a bunch of stuff, but we don't have to get through all of it. What I do need right now is there's an AOC subcommittee on natural resources that needs a county liaison. I'm a chair. I'm a tri-chair of that committee as a chair of natural resources. But we don't have a designated liaison who can make a determination for other stuff that needs to happen. We're trying to establish this committee, and it's not real clear what they do quite yet. We're kind of figuring that out, getting the bylaws refined. But they administer like a natural resources policy on the federal level, not the state level. So it doesn't have to be me. It should be somebody else, actually. So we round out the committee.
I am looking at trying to go to the AOC meetings and committees instead of the phone. The phone is not effective.
It doesn't work very well.
And you know, to be effective in those committees, going in person and getting to be known and to do that is something I'm interested in. I don't know if you have interest at all in any of those.
This would be more of like a subject matter element. Who wants to? I don't think that they're going to meet a lot, maybe once or twice a year. So
I'm interested at some level. I don't know. I mean, that's something we've talked about before we took office about.
Who's going to take over some issues?
Going that route. I know I've attended the mining advisory this last year, but I haven't done forestry.
And we can change this up. It's not set in stone. It's very minor.
I'd like to find out what it entails, because I like natural resources. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, mining and whatnot like that.
Okay.
And I wouldn't mind that.
There's also some...
But I'm going to need like kind of a job description.
Legislatively, there's some issues I heard that are coming up mining-wise that...
Yeah, we went over there today in the Mining Advisory Committee. I don't expect a lot of activity on those. Neither did Tom Wiley. You know, they haven't done a lot. I did champion a piece of legislation last year that appropriated some money to do some studies, and that was the first thing they've gotten probably since 1985, I guess, some funding to do some mineral evaluation around the state. One thing we were talking about that I'm going to have Dave bring forward in the goals is maybe appropriating some funds to do an assessment of the mineral and aggregate resources on county lands. We've never really done that. Dagami has some stuff, but ironically, Tom Wiley, who is a former geologist for Dagami in Southern Oregon, is retired. He might be a good person to, you know, contract with and say, I don't know who we should get, but somebody.
And we've got some openings on committees.
Yeah.
Coming up. What's the rules on that? I think, you know, Tara kind of filled me in a little bit. So
yeah.
I can't pick up the phone. Can I call somebody and
say, sure.
Phone
Absolutely.
A
the phone number's right there and their references.
Yeah.
You should do your diligence. You can say, I don't know this person at all, but they look like they've got a pretty good resume, but we should probably interview them. You just check on there. You'd like to.
Can I ask somebody outside of the applicants?
To apply?
That people that aren't applied, and I say, you know, hey, I know somebody in the mining community. Can I ask them what they think about this guy here?
I think you can use any resource you want. We want the best people on the committee. So,
okay.
No, I don't think you're restricted to that at all. No, I.
Is there recommendations from the existing committee?
That's actually something I raised with them today. And it's like these candidates are coming without a recommendation from the Mining Advisory Committee from a timeliness standpoint, you have a number of vacancies. Are you okay with that? And they said, yes, but in the future, they wouldn't mind weighing in on that. Some committees do, some committees don't. They're prepared to go forward. Tom Wiley didn't apply in the timeline that we do. Usually we have these kind of filled until, open until filled. That one had a date certain that you had to apply by, but I'm going to make a recommendation on Thursday that we include Tom as one of the recommended. I don't think they come more qualified than him, and he's willing. And so he gets my number one recommendation as the liaison to say, this is kind of one of the guys. We've got spots for two more. See what we can do. So.
And on the land use stuff, I mean, I think the more all of us are up to speed on natural resources, the more we'll have a solid voice moving forward. So anything that we can do to assist you.
Great.
And if there needs to be a direct liaison, it doesn't, you know, I'm okay with whatever. But I want to make sure that we're all equipped moving forward.
You're tracking with what I'm
correct
doing. Absolutely.
Where do we stand on the monument status? I mean,
Wally should probably give us an update on that. It's probably a done deal, but there is talk in the incoming administration of figuring out a way to repeal those elements.
I'm well done.
So
I get real.
We'll just have to see.
I think. You know,
there's legislation to, no, that's at the state level, to refer the emergency clause to, you know, how all those things were done in the
under emergency.
Yeah, 75% of the bills were passed under emergency, which restricts the ability to refer those elements in a referendum. You can't refer them to the voters. So there is.
Well, there won't stop. That means that all of these things just go into the emergency side. And then you can't.
But they're not defining emergency.
So there's a piece of legislation at the state that would define an emergency that. Well, they're not defining what an emergency is. Whatever. But you have to have 2/3 of the body approving it.
And, oh, nice.
And so that's a. There's something of a check on it. Because right now it doesn't require any more than a regular piece of legislation.
The monument status bothers me. It concerns me because if you ever really look at the rules governing a national monument, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You cannot have an assembled firearm in a national park or national monument or a game reserve. And that means everywhere. That means it doesn't matter that you have all your credentials and everything and you're a cop. You're not allowed to have it.
No, I was told yesterday it's a felony to bring a firearm into this building.
Unauthorized, yeah.
Even police officers in uniform on a private matter are illegal to carry a firearm. Taking a personal break, even in uniform, they would be liable.
Is there a reason, and illegal by whose standards? State standards?
They say it's a felony, so that's a state statute.
If the judge, the presiding judge, has deemed it.
Does she or he have to give a reason?
I don't think so. She's got a lot of authority in this courthouse. This is hers.
It's a court facility, including the justice building, because there's courts in there, including juvenile justice. And in conferring with the presiding judges statewide, it's not going to happen.
And Wally can brief us on that.
Until there's an active shooter and they need help.
So You were done.
I am.
Do we agree that Dan was going to be the subcommittee representative from... Now, that doesn't mean you have a position on the board.
No, for natural reasons.
It means in this group, and I've got the paperwork in there, we're in like with 4 other counties, and together you guys determine who that representative is from, say, like region or region 4, who region 4 representative on that subcommittee is going to be. What we do as a board have somebody, that would be me, I'm going to be a chair of that, so we are kind of representative. You can attend.
Well,
you can just
outline roles and responsibilities. I'd like to be that.
It's pretty much just to select the representative from the region.
Okay.
So it could be you. It could be. I think Colleen Roberts is going to be the representative designated from Jackson County. Each of these 4 or 5 counties designate somebody to vote on behalf of the county on who the regional representative. It's a little bureaucratic, but it's like once you get established, it's just done.
Okay.
So
So, yes, I agree. Dan can do that.
Okay, great. I'll refer that. Gil Riddell's
that
looking.
A motion.
Gil Riddell's looking. I think we just agree. Gil Riddell is looking for somebody to fill that. I'm supposed to do that.
And Gil Riddell is with AOC.
He's the staffer on natural resource policy. Yeah. He was in the mining advisory committee. We're looking at corresponding with all of our state reps and Senator Berkshire on the legislative correspondence and other bills that they've produced, they've proposed. And so we should have a meeting soon compiling all of those, get a chance so we can have a review of those. I don't know that they're going to be available for that, but we might just do it in conjunction with the chamber.
Is there a lot of them coming from locally?
There's a stack, I would imagine. It's probably at least like that, you know. So there was 1,400 LCs, and there'll be probably somewhere around 4,000 bills by the end of the session. So you can imagine. I've submitted a couple through Congressman Wilson's office, Representative Wilson's office, and one that's in particular interest is all of those yellow spots on that map on the left. Those are state properties. I propose we have 3% of the state holdings. We have a lease in the 15 counties that have state lands within them. But we have the most, the teal is county-owned property. We have the most county-owned property. So I've asked, the LC says that if a county has less than 10% of the state holdings, that those would be divested back to the county of origin.
Oh, okay.
So we would just get those
back. You'd just take ownership.
We just get them back.
And is that a hard thing to do, or is that just something that...
Maybe impossible, but we'll see.
Very valuable.
Oh, yeah.
Timber?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our average annual revenues from state lands is right around $12,000 on about 5,000 or 6,000 acres. So anybody who knows anything could do a lot better than that.
Yeah.
But it's an administrative nightmare to be managing these from Salem.
For $12,000, it's not worth your time.
No, it barely covers the assessed ODF, assesses us per acre for fire suppression. We contract with them. We spend about $93,000 every year to ODF. We cut them a check at the beginning of the year. And it's been going up. Price of fires have been going up. So.
Well, you become a source of revenue.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's... I've got way more, but I'll let you get to your meeting and go from there. So we'll see you tomorrow at the weekly business session at 5.
I will not be there.
Okay. I will be. We don't have much on the agenda, right? We have an appointment to an airport
two items.
Advisory and something else. Oh, we have a proclamation on child trafficking. I'll do it, you'll do it, it doesn't matter. One of us will read it. Is that it?
I think there's one other item.
Oh, the policy on HR.
Yes. The order.
So review that order of the policy.
Which I had to abstain from anyhow, so that's good.
Good. Did we decide on the Justice Reinvestment? Why don't you try to go to AOC? And I'm not trying to go to this, but I'd like you to...
I'll do the AOC this time. Justice Reinvestment,
yeah.
I think. Because if we're receiving funds, that might be something really good to be on the ground for.
Okay, so County College starts in January. Do you want to try to do the intro to see if it's worth being a part of?
We get about $650,000 of Justice Reinvestment dollars. I'm pretty well versed with it. So are you saying you want to attend Justice or you want to attend County College?
Well, that's in February, right?
Correct.
Justice is in February?
Correct. February 16th, 17th.
Great.
So I'll get back to you on the county.
Let's just register somebody.
College.
We do need to get registered for it.
Let's just register somebody. It doesn't matter what the name is.
For County College?
No.
Oh, for Justice.
Justice.
Yeah. You're currently registered for County College, so unless you unregister, you're still expected to be there.
Can't you help me on this?
Mm-hmm. Let's register me for the Justice Reinvestment if Dan feels as though after his first meeting of AOC that he doesn't.
Where do we get that information to register?
I emailed it to Wendy.
We'll get you dialed in on that. That's fine.
A couple days ago.
Okay, I'll have her.
It had a link.
I'll let you know.
And then if you decide, it's up to you, Dan.
Okay.
The more the merrier for Justice Reinvestment.
Only one of us needs to.
We need to have a showing.
Yeah, I'll definitely be advocating on the issue.
Nate will be going, and I don't know who else is going.
I'm going.
Okay.
It's pretty important to Josephine County, so we have neighboring counties that don't have the exact, they're not keeping up with our performance, and it's a real issue, especially in the female population as far as their capacity issues. Every bed counts for that, and so, you know, anything we can do to make sure that there was a money that was supposed to be set aside for evaluation and, you know, sort of bang for the buck to try to keep a Junction City facility from opening or starting up, you know, running the other one. Those are really expensive. But they've also never appropriated what they said they were going to, so those counties that aren't doing that well either haven't spent it or they haven't been given enough to really have an impact. It's a good program, though. We've done really, really well. It's been great for us. So, and we don't have the resources to shore up the difference. If they were to pull that money back, just wait. You know, you think it's bad right now, at least from Josephine County, and I think other counties would have that one.
It's covering the secure treatment program in the jail.
10 beds.
Paying 10 beds in a pod. It is covering a district attorney position, right? It's covering some housing for reentry into the community. It's covering Women's Crisis and Illinois Valley Safe House Alliance. And I don't remember what the other.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and it also purchased the other transitional housing.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's huge.
And the South Gap funding drug court coordinator for 1 year.
Drug court coordinator. That was the fifth thing. So.
So we started it too. It looks as though we're going to do these for the first month or so, probably a couple hour general discussion, just so we understand that I'm going to try not to schedule something right afterward.
I didn't schedule.
No, it's okay. He's a priority. I'm looking at your IDA.
Oh, okay. So this is orientation 101.
Yeah. Okay. I'm getting ready to jump out of here, but I guess if we're nothing further, we're adjourned.
Adjourned?
At 3:53.